T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM,
The Fan.
Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All righty, folks. 7:43 here on this Friday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski. We're right here on The Fan and kind of hopeful that within the weeks to come, we are going to have the start of the 2020 baseball season. But when you think October Magic and when you think the New York Yankees and October Magic, this is one of the first names you think of. Hit one of the most iconic home runs in Yankee history. He joins us now, the great Jimmy Laritz. King, how are you, good sir? What's happening, brother?
Good to hear from you. How you guys doing?
Jim, we're doing all right. First things first here. How have you been holding up during probably one of the craziest and most, you know, bizarre times in our, you know, time on this earth altogether? So how you been trying to stay sane throughout these last couple months?
Well, you know, I'm in Orange County, California, and we've been kind of lucky because, you know, despite not always agreeing with our governor out here, I think he made a great move by shutting us down. We were one of the first people to shut down, and I think that put us probably about a month ahead of everybody else, and things are starting to get back to a little bit more of a new normal, but you know, it was a very, very difficult time for everybody, you know, mostly, again, you know, the city of New York. And, you know, being out here, and I had a friend of mine that was helping raise money for the frontline workers in New York. And we decided to start a podcast, a buddy of mine from the fantasy camp. And we did a podcast we did 11 episodes. And we were hoping to raise maybe $5,000, $6,000 to feed the frontline workers. And we ended up raising over $50,000.
That's tremendous. $50,000, Jim? That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, and it was really cool because, you know what, we were giving everybody that was listening to us, they were hearing sports. I had a lot of my former teammates, Don Mattingly, you know, Jeff Nelson, Cecil Fielder, Tim Raines. We had a lot of guys on from the 96, 98 Yankees. And it was just something that everybody that was listening said thank you because, you know, we're getting something, and we said thank you to them because it was actually filling 3 hours a night for us. So it was a great experience, and it was like with Luke's restaurant in New York City, and a buddy of mine named Mike Walsh, he was delivering all the meals to all the frontline workers, and it was just really neat to be able to, because, you know, we love New York so much, but we couldn't be there to help. It was just great to be able to help, you know, help out somehow and to raise that money.
Jimmy, obviously that's awesome to hear, and we'll circle back at the end of this to find a way to donate, because listen, we're always looking to help out, always trying to fight the good fight, if you will. I want to take you back from when you were a player in 1994, because right now you got a whole lot of labor unrest between the players and the owners, and I'm still optimistic. I still believe there's going to be a season. But Jim, take me through what you went through that year, as you guys had a damn good team. You're in first place in the American League East. And then all of a sudden, the season just shuts down. Were you kind of knowing going into those final couple of games that this is going to be the end of the 94 season? Or were you always expecting a restart? What was that period like for you?
Yeah, I think all of us, when we left that day in August, I think all of us felt like, okay, you know what, this is just going to be for a month or so, and then we'll be back. There's no way they would cancel the playoffs or the World Series. And I can only imagine right now what basketball, what hockey have gone through, because we already played most of the season. We had already put in the hard work, the effort, everything else. And it was really – that even felt more like it was taken away, where these guys – you know, I can't imagine what they're going through sitting at home going, we didn't even get a chance to start. So I don't think they're losing as much as we did, But at the same time, you know, you got guys that were going to make a team for the first time, guys that could be free agents next year. You know, there's a lot of other things. I was reading it the other day that the kid that just got traded from the Red Sox, I just drawn a blank right now, to the Dodgers, the big trade, the center fielder. Give me his name.
Mookie Betts,
if they don't play this year, may never put a Dodger uniform on again. And that would be crazy, you know, for what the deal and the trades. So I can see guys worrying about that. But I can tell you right now, and I can pretty much, I'm not with this new group of guys and their attitude, the difference in the changes in the attitudes. But I can only imagine that they have to be sitting there going, you know, what do we need to do? How can we solve this season? How can we play at least, you know, what they're saying now is maybe 100 games. So we'll see what happens. I think the players want to play, but I think they also want to make sure that they're not taking the brunt of these breaks here.
Well, Jim, if you think about the sport, you guys were covered. I mean, in New York, the Yankees getting to the point that they got to certainly helped. You had McGuire and Sosa, you had Cal Ripken Jr., but there were some cities where baseball never recovered. I mean, Pittsburgh, it took 20 years. Montreal, they never recovered. Toronto, they never recovered. And now in this day and age, I mean, think about it for a minute. You got iPhones, you got video games, you got iPads, you got all these distractions for young people. The ratings have gone down for Major League Baseball. I mean, as a guy who played in the big leagues for a long period of time, I think we got to agree on this. They can't afford to not play this entire season. I think the PR backlash from that would be catastrophic every which way.
Well, and the good thing about it is, and I don't mean this in any way against lawyers and doctors and, you know, guys that have been in the head of the union before, like Donald Fehr and Gene Orsa, because they were great. The good thing, I think, real going right now on the player side is that Tony Clark is head of the union. Here's a guy that went through that strike, who's seen players that went through that strike. You know, I don't think he was playing at the time, but he might have been a minor leaguer. But he's seen that. He's been that. He saw the effects of what happened in 94. I think that's a positive thing for the union. And I think he'll try to make every effort that he can to make sure that season's, you know, that we get some type of season, though it be different, at least get something. I mean, you know, if I was giving advice or if I was part of this, I would just say, listen, guys, even if we just take a half a pay cut, even if the owners give back some more stuff, just to save 80 to 100 games for the fans, like you're just talking about, is going to bring the game back so much faster than not playing at all. And if there's any feasible way to bring them back and even play, you know, 80 to 100 games, I think baseball needs to make every effort that they can.
We got our buddy Jimmy Laritz, the champion in 1996 and 1999 for the New York Yankees. And Jimmy, I got to admit, with no live baseball for the last couple months, you know, I'm now to the point where I'm like sick and tired of watching old games. But like, there are a few that, like, if I haven't seen it, like, I'm going back tonight. I got to admit, I got a poker game lined up, and your game in 1996 against Baltimore, I have not rewatched that game 5 down in Baltimore. So I got to ask you, out of curiosity, in this period where we've been sitting around for a couple of months, have you been able to dive in and relive some of your old moments from wearing the Yankee pinstripes?
Well, that's what I was joking with my now wife, because she was not around during the baseball years. And I was joking with her that this pandemic, she's like, I've learned more about what you did in baseball during this pandemic than I ever knew before.
Nice.
She's like, you know, watching you play, it gives me a whole different perspective because I never got to see that. She's like, you know, you did some pretty amazing things. And she goes, I can see why people of New York love you so much. Because she always, you know, she always came to the games with me and things, but, you know, the appearances and stuff. And she saw the people fawning over me and talking to me, and she just never really understood it. And then now that she's been able to see some of these moments that they've replayed, she's like, okay, now I kind of get it. And it's been kind of, you know, like I said, it's been fun to relive and to watch. And again, I think that really helped us when we did this little podcast and this Zoomcast, that people, you could just see how much they were starving just to hear anything about baseball. And I got a chance to bring on a lot of the guys from the 96 team and talk about how special that year was for not only the team, but also the city of New York. It's just been, it has been a strange period. It's been a horrible period for the amount of people that we've lost. But I think it's also been a period just like 9/11 when we all of a sudden were forced to refocus on what was important. And a lot of the things that we may have started to take for granted, we are not taking for granted anymore. And I think this is going to make us even, you know, as we, especially in New York, as we always do in New York, we come back stronger from.
Jimmy, I got to ask you. You're on the 95 team. You hit that walk-off in a wild game that, to be honest, needs to be shown more. In the rain, that crazy, crazy scene against the Mariners, crowd going nuts when Donnie hits the home run, and forget about it. You guys go to Seattle and lose in, like, the most heartbreaking way imaginable. Then you come back in 96, and let's be honest, it's a totally different team. Donnie retires, Buck Showalter's out, Joe Torre is in. So being a part of that 96 team, when was the moment for you? Maybe it was early in the year. Maybe it was midway through the year. Maybe it took until September, October, where you're like, holy smokes, I'm playing on a real special team.
Well, you know what? It was interesting because, we, like I just mentioned, we had all these guys on the show, and this is some of the questions I was asking them. And I would say, you know, in what was your – and in all honesty, the one – there was probably – 8 or 10 guys from the 96 team that came on, I would say most all of them said it, the same thing. It was when David Cohen came back from his aneurysm in Oakland and pitched 7 shutout innings and 7 no-hit innings. And, or it might have been 6, but 6 or 7 no-hit
innings. I think it was 7. I think you're right about that. And Mariano gave up like a cheap single. I remember I was so ticked off watching that, Jimmy.
Yep. And I think that was when we all kind of looked at each other and said, you know what? If this guy can come back like this, we gotta keep this thing going. And I think really that was a kind of another. Again, you can look back on that team and you can pick the Daryl Strawberry comeback, the Doc Gooden comeback. I mean, Doc Gooden replaces David Cohen when he gets an aneurysm, and 2 weeks or whatever later, he throws his first no hitter ever. I mean, there were just so many great stories. Joe Torre's brother getting a heart right before the World Series. That's why I think everybody, and I remember Ken Burns had his special on, and he said, you know what, after that 96 team, even though I can't stand the Yankees, I started to like them. And I think that's really what a lot of people, even not Yankee fans, started to love about that 96 team, is there were so many great stories, and it wasn't about one person, one superstar. It was about 25 guys. You know, it's kind of like that Hoosiers movie when you watch Hoosiers, you know. It was just such a great team effort that we were able to pull that off and come back and beat the Braves like we did.
Jimmy, take me through leaving New York. You guys get smoked in the first 2 games by the Braves, and the Braves were a heavy favorite to win that World Series. They're pitching. They'd won it the year prior. Everybody in Atlanta thought they were coming back for a party. I mean, let's be honest. You guys are down 0-2. Everybody thought in Atlanta, we're winning this series of 4 or 5. We're not getting on a plane back to New York. Little do they know they're going to lose the next 3 games. But what was said? Did somebody have to, like, break the ice? Was it George? Was it Joe Torre? Was it one of the veteran leaders on that team? Like, what helped you guys be at such ease for when you went down to Atlanta? You guys just went down and played some great baseball.
There was 2 things. Wade Boggs gave a little speech in the back of the plane. That was kind of an inspirational type of thing. It was like kind of a Newt Rockne after a few beers. But then I think really the biggest one was Joe Torre. And Joe just telling us, guys, look what the Braves said. We won the first 2 games in New York. We're so happy because now we don't have to go back to that pit because they hated New York. Chipper Jones's wife got abused in the stands. I mean, they did not want to go back to New York. And all Joe Torre said to us is, guys, if we can get this series back to New York, we win, because these guys don't want to go back. And I remember David Cohen pitches that great game, and Bernie Williams hits a big home run to win Game 3. And I can remember walking into Game 4, Joe Torre giving us a speech, let's go out there, let's get this. If we win this, we're going back to New York. And then all of a sudden, we go down 6-0. And I think Joe could tell the whole dugout was just deflated. And all of a sudden, he just said, guys, let's just chip back, let's chip away. And then we got to the 6th inning, and we got to the three runs. And then we with Tino and Paul O'Neill coming up in those big situations, we thought, okay, this is it. And then Bilecki strikes both of those guys out. And I really think, kind of looking at the bench, it was kind of like that was our chance. That was the one, you know, we needed to get closer than 3 runs. And then I remember Mark Wahlers getting up in the bottom of the seventh inning, or I'm sorry, the top of the seventh inning, getting up and starting to warm up. And I remember looking, I think I looked at Jeff Nelson and I said, dude, look down there. Well, at least we didn't get swept, because Mark Wohlers was there, Mariano Rivera, you know, and seeing him warm up was like Bobby Cox is going for, you know, he's going for it right here and we're done. And I just literally said to him, I'm glad we didn't get swept. And then, of course, the top of the eighth inning, we come up and do what we did. And, and I remember after the home run, after we win the game, Wade Boggs walk, and then we win the game. Just before the reporters come in the locker room, we had our little team gathering, and you could just tell to a player that we knew we were going to win this thing, and there was no way. And there was one guy that gave me a big hug and said, thank you, because tomorrow, pitching to you, I don't have to worry about an elimination game. Thank you.
And that would be Andy Pettitte, who went on and threw 8-plus shutout innings that night. And Jimmy, for what it's worth, who is the guy behind the plate catching him?
Well, I tell people that all the time. I said, listen, I always think about the home run, but I take more pride in catching that 1-0 game that he threw, because there were a lot of question marks whether or not I was going to catch him after game one, because he wouldn't shake me off. And Joe Torre even mentioned that he was thinking about not catching me game five because of that reason. And, you know, he ended up going with me anyhow. And I just remember being so proud after that game was over with that Andy, number one, revamped himself from game one, but then that we were able to win that game and push it back to New York, knowing that we had a chance to win this whole thing.
Jimmy, before we let you go, thinking back now on it, 20 plus years after the fact, it's got to be surreal and it's got to be so cool for you. Like, I go through Yankee moments, right? And there have been a ton, and you guys treated me to a ton. But, like, your home run and that comeback against the Atlanta Braves, in many ways, it doesn't get better than that. And if you're a Yankee fan and you think of iconic home runs hit by somebody in that uniform, your home run off of Mark Wohlers is going to be right at the top of the list. So now that we're, almost 25 years removed from that, I mean, does it still give you the chills?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the things I always talk about, I wrote my book, Catching Heat, and in my book I say this, that, as an undrafted, free agent that signed with the Yankees, never drafted, to have the moments that I had, especially after the early years of the Yankees when that people thought I would never come back, to be on that 96 team, to be the senior guy on that team, to win the World Series that year, to basically, as you look back now in history, going, if they wouldn't have won in 96, we lose in 90, the Yankees lose like they did in 97. Joe Torre doesn't have a job. Mariano Rivera is traded. Think about that history. And then in 97, I go from the Angels to the Texas Rangers because Pudge Rodriguez won't sign his free agent contract. And he finds out that they traded for me to come to Texas from Anaheim. And he's going to New York for Jorge Posada. He walks in the next day and signs a 5-year contract with the Rangers. So I help save the Rangers. And then, of course, I go to the Padres, and we have the run that we got on in 98 and hit all the home runs to help get to the World Series. And we get the approval for Petco Park, and they have a new stadium because of that 98 team. And then, of course, the only downer part is we lost to probably the greatest team in Yankee history, what was that 98, that 98.
No shame in that. And I heard, Jimmy, by the way, when you went on with the Short Porch Boys, you gave George and the fellas all the recommendations to where to celebrate in San Diego. Ain't that right?
Yeah, George actually asked me, where can these guys celebrate? And I said, I'll call up Junior Seau. We'll get his restaurant, and you guys can go down there. And we did.
Amazing.
We opened up the restaurant for them, and God rest Junior's thing. But he was a big baseball fan, and he said, absolutely, bring him down. I'll keep the kitchen open. So they all went down there. I think about 12 of them went down there, and we also, and I actually celebrated with them.
Jimmy, once a Yankee, always a Yankee, my friend. Two of the more iconic Yankee home runs, 95-96. And as Costas once brilliantly said, they could put you on an island for 8 or 9 months or whatever it is, but one comes back in the month of October and he's going to deliver. So, Jimmy, you always got to be back, man, in New York come the month of October. Stay safe. All the best to you and the family, and let's catch up soon, all right?
All right, guys. I hope to see you there in October. Hopefully we'll get there.
Amen to that. That's the great Jimmy Lehrer. It's good stuff there. We got a lot more of your calls. 877-337-6666. Update time. Here's Zach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.